Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I am one of your many hosts this evening, and my name is Dungeon Master Mainprize, or DM Mainprize.
And I am DM Neil, aka Jopemaniac. And with us, we have a very special guest, and I will let him introduce himself.
Hi, I'm James D'Amato, coming over from the One Shot Podcast Network.
Yes, and that should clue you in as to what we're going to be talking about. If it doesn't, well, you should go back to episode number 59, which was originally titled Improversation, which was an attempt at putting conversation and improv together and did not go well, and people sent us a lot of messages.
Yeah, even with the Michael Scott title picture that you guys had on there, there was a lot of confusion over that.
Yes, it was changed and is now just called Improvisation. So, problem solved. It made me very happy, that entire thing. I'm like, I get it. Like, I can see the problem, but okay, we'll just have that changed.
Man, your listeners are ruthless.
Yeah.
They're really ruthless with their 5-star reviews.
How dare you put a portmanteau before me?
Which is by far my favorite kind of word. That's why I was a little disappointed. I'm like, but what about the Bayon Network? The DMnastics that we're going to tie this back to is called DMnastics number 47. There was that one time, yes, and.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. To say that I had a hard time making this one would be a wild and gross understatement. Because how do you take improv and port it into a forum experience was my big problem. Trying to figure out, I mean, because the essence of improv is on the spot and the essence of a forum, not so much.
Yeah, you get to write that out.
Yeah. So rather than go into it right away, I wanted to present a question to you, James.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any tips or tricks on how to essentially do that improv in formats that aren't classic or traditional?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if we're talking about like a forum or any sort of written thing, the important thing to remember, the thing about improv that makes it cool and special is not just that you're making it up, because any creative act is, you know, making something up. So one of the best improv acts in the city of Chicago is TJ and Dave. Those are two improvisers who are just legendary. Their skill is tremendous, and everybody who trains in the city sees at least one of their shows, and it's a transformative experience. And unlike pretty much every other improv show in the city, they famously do not take a suggestion. They walk out on stage, they look at the audience, and they say, "Trust us, this is all made up," and then they launch into their performance. So it does not matter if what you're doing is like something made up on the spot. I know it's called improvisation, and that's obviously a huge cornerstone of what's happening, but the important thing is that improv is a collaboration between you and the other people that you're working with. That's why I say, you know, even though everybody says, well, I'm not an improviser, well, if you play role-playing games, you kind of are an improviser, because no matter what, you're sitting there around the table with everybody else, and you are contributing to a piece that is part of a larger whole. And it's not something that you have scripted out beforehand. Even if you're the GM and you've prepared a framework, if you've prepared a session or an adventure for people, it's not going to go exactly like everybody knows that no plan survives contact with the party, but it's even deeper than that. You cannot make your friend's contribution for them. It's not a novel that you're writing, it's a collaboration. So the important thing that you're doing in any improv exercise, any improv format, is that you are listening to, absorbing, and building off of the contributions made by the other people in your group. So if you're in a forum and you're playing by post instead of just playing normally, the thing that you want to focus on is reading everybody else's posts and deciding on how your character, or you as the GM, your world, is reacting to the things that players are putting forth. A lot of this is something that, you know, we just do naturally and we don't need to think too hard about. But if you analyze it and actually make a concerted effort to absorb whatever other people are giving you and give them back building on what they've given you. That is the essence of improv. That is what makes it cool and special. And that's why we're talking about it.
Yes.
My brain exploded.
So much yes as a dungeon master. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, if you don't think, yeah, if you're at a table and you've ever been a DM and you don't think you can improv, that just means you've had one session, it failed, and you never went back to a table.
Yeah, and you're just not giving yourself enough credit, really.
Yeah, I feel like most of us are our own worst critics when it comes to being dungeon masters. So, speaking of being our own worst critics, I will let you know what I did on the forums, and we'll see how you feel about it. And if you two are amenable to the idea, we may just add on to what happened on the forums.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's see what's going on.
So all I did was a very quick prompt. I owned up to the fact that it racked my brain more than it probably should have. And the other thing I did was list simple character ideas. That's it. So probably a 2-sentence prompt, character ideas that were hidden in spoiler tags so people couldn't see their character before they opened it, theoretically, and no one else could see the other characters that would then come into the story until they came into the story. Obviously, there's the essence of trust that you're not going through and looking at everything before doing it, but that was the best I could come up with.
I mean, that's definitely an interesting setup. I'm excited to see what's going on here.
So, like I said, if we're amenable, I will do exactly what we did, and I will give you both character ideas, and we will continue the not very elaborate story and not for very long, because we'll see how well I can improv based off of the things that James taught us in the previous episode.
Ooh.
No longer called improvisation.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this, you will be giving us characters, me and Philip characters, we'll be reading those sentence prompts and playing as those characters?
Yes.
Excellent. Right.
Dangerous.
Yeah, so I will give you, and the best thing is, I cannot tell you the resource that I use to get these characters because this is a family-friendly podcast.
Aha!
All right. James, are you ready?
I am ready.
You, sir, are an old-fashioned tiefling sorcerer from the Quality Control for Potion Brewing Association, who is getting too old for all of this.
Got it.
And Phil, you will be an assertive human wizard from the Forest of Faces, who is a former bare knuckle boxer.
Appropriate.
Excellent.
So you guys have that. And I will give you the prompt and a little taste of what has happened on the forums, and we'll go from there.
Excellent.
So, it is a night not like many others. Instead, it's one that marks the end of a terrible battle waged against the invading hordes of every monster imaginable. Adventurers, militia, townspeople, and everyone in between is either staggering, being carried, or just straight crawling to the Restless Knight's Inn. It used to be spelled with K-N, but the K fell off of the sign, kind of fits the battle, so now it's Restless Knights with an N. And it is the premier bar in Lucina Tirion, aka Tower Town, and far less adventurers have returned than left, and tales of the battle are on the lips of every patron, taking in a hot meal and a free ale for saving the town. So that was the prompt that was given. And interestingly enough, the forum users, of course, took it somewhere I didn't assume. And very quickly, might I add. And they started noticing that a lot of the patrons in the bar looked similar to other patrons in the bar. Only to find out that the reason that the defenses for Lucina Tirion fell so easily, doppelgangers.
Of course.
Classic.
So, as the story's already progressed, the first question I have for both of you as you're walking together down the streets of Lucina Tirion is, why are you late? Why are you later than the rest of the patrons that were already there at the Restless Knights Inn? James?
So, being one of the people working on quality control for potions, one of the first things that happens after a big battle, we get inundated with complaints from people who bought potions claiming that they didn't go exactly as promised or as written on the label. So, I have been sifting through complaint after complaint, trying to separate what's real from what's fake.
All I can think of is Lethal Weapon, of course, because you are getting too old for this. Perfect. Phil, why are you late coming to the Restless Knight Inn?
So I'm late because being from the Forest of Faces, a lot of people know the general reason as to why it's called that, but a less popular reason is that bare-knuckle boxers will meet in this forest, and it's really called the Forest of Faces because if you step into that boxing ring, when you step out, your face doesn't look like it did when you got in it. Especially if you have to go up against me. And so I just happened to, while on the battlefield, I was out there casting spells, you know, fireball, magic missile, the works. I met a guy who once took the welterweight boxing championship away from me. And so I had to, you know, kind of bound by honor to beat his face in. So that's why it kind of delayed me. I was out on the battlefield just having a good old match of fisticuffs.
Perfect. So both of you are on your way to the Restless Nights Inn, and you hear a commotion. Now, 50-50 chance you think it's nothing other than the Restless Nights Inn, but you see a creature fly out of the window and hit the streets. What do you do?
Oh my goodness. Let's find another place. Just down the street, there's another bar. We don't need to get involved in this.
I begin rolling up my sleeves and I spit out a tooth and just walk towards the creature.
No, please, please!
Come on. This will be fun.
I have been doing paperwork all day. I don't want to go and fight tonight. I just want to drink and enjoy a meal. Yep. Oh, he's already rolled. Okay, his sleeves are rolled up. Fine. I'm just going to watch this time.
Fine. Watch.
James, what name do you call to try and stop your human wizard friend?
Oh, man, my bare-knuckle boxing wizard friend. Zorlin, please. There are so many other things that we could be doing tonight.
Phil, how do you respond?
Felix, I know you're too old for this kind of mayhem, but something in me, I just gotta go. I gotta answer the call when my fists, you know, when they clench up. You know how it is. It's just, I get my blood up and I want to go hit something.
That's called high blood pressure. There's a potion for that.
Well, apparently it's not a very good one, as I've read, you know, your reports.
Do not start with me. Do not start with me. Oh dear God, he's going for your head!
So, not only that, a second creature flies out, and you see from in the bar a large barbarian and a motley, to say the least, crew that are fighting roughly a dozen doppelgangers inside. But you are now faced with the two in front of you. I have a question for each of you. Phil, aka Zolan, you've already established that you've used most of your spells for the battle.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have left, and what do you cast?
Well, I mean, I don't have the entire player's handbook memorized, but I'm definitely, if I can, I'm casting something to enlarge, like make myself bigger.
Okay, so you have cast enlarge. You're not going into that bar anytime soon. And Felix, what potion do you have at the ready to combat what you now know are two doppelgangers?
Okay, I think the potions that I have on me are actually potions that I am taking home because I need to study them more carefully. So what I've got on me, I don't even know if it's going to work. But I have a potion that is supposed to be of mass sleep, and I've got several potions of grease, and I don't know why anybody bought a grease potion.
Exactly, and that's why you still have them. The two doppelgangers run up and begin to attack you, Phil. What maneuver do they use that works against your bare-knuckle boxing prowess?
I would say they probably sweep the leg if I had to go out on a limb.
I see what you did there by going out on a limb and using the word leg together. Perfect. So you are now on your back. James, which of the two will you try and use, your sleep or your grease potion?
Okay, I think seeing that his friend has been knocked on his back, he's going to try and even the odds by using the grease potion, making the assumption that if these creatures were in a bar, they might be a little intoxicated and perhaps slip on the grease.
Yes, to keep up their illusion of being normal patrons and free ale flowing at the Restless Night Inn, they are in fact a little bit drunk and they are on the ground. Now, what I feel is the very establishing question, now that they are on the ground, do you capture or do you kill?
Being a middle manager paper pusher, I don't think there is a single bone in my body that would make me capable of killing. So instead, I'm going to say that this is a fishing village. And outside the bar, one of the decorations that's put up is an old fishing net. And I'm going to try and toss the fishing net over them.
done. So you can get one of them. Now, the question is to you, Zolan, are you going to question or kill? Like, or capture or kill? You could question, you never know, the one that is in front of you.
I don't see Zolan as a killer either, being that he's used to fighting in a ring. The ring has rules, and one of the rules is you don't kill your opponent. You just beat them till they're not moving or you've been declared the winner. So I think I just go to town with haymakers and jabs until the not netted one ceases to be mobile and hostile.
The one that is still in the net, and the very last question I have for you both, because it will be fun to hear what you say, is you hear this faint whisper inside your mind, and pulling forth is the greatest success or failure, essentially a heightened emotional state that came from the battle. What memory is drawn to the front of your mind by these doppelgangers?
So either what we consider our character's greatest success in life or greatest failure?
In the battle that you just completed.
Okay. In that battle.
Yeah, so there's the most recent heightened emotional state just being drawn forth by this doppelganger.
Okay, I think coming from my character is just supreme annoyance that this is happening. It seems every time that he goes out with Zolan, something has to happen.
You have a better time.
No, you have a better time. You.
I like how you're encroaching on his memory.
And you're just a figment of my imagination. It sickens me that you're buried in my head, Zolan. Get out!
You're welcome. That's because I put one of my beard hairs in that last potion you drank.
Oh.
I'll be in your mind forever.
Zolan, what is the heightened emotional state that comes forth to your mind from the previous battle?
Just success, that I as a wizard am an overall success. And now that I've bested the guy who took my title belt, I've achieved the pinnacle of what I need to. I've also embedded myself in another's mind. So in case my physical form happens to die, I know that my essence, my thoughts will carry on in the mind of Felix.
I am not a phylactery.
Oh my gosh, what a terrible phylactery that would be.
Hey.
No, I just mean, like, you can keep a book somewhere. Like, now your phylactery lives and dies. Like, that was a bad call, Zolan. Bad call. Perfect. As you two have captured or subdued your two, we will pan up, and the final shot will be yet a third doppelganger flying out of the window and far down the street, given the grease potion that has been used. And there we have it. A little bit more Beautiful. About the aftermath of the battle for Lucina Tyrion.
Very nice.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And definitely, if you had fun listening to that, go check out the actual post, DMnastics number 47. There's two full pages of basically really cool play-by-post stuff with pre-generated characters from the forum users. It was honestly an insane amount, and we couldn't even read it all and do it justice because they wrote some really cool ideas.
Yeah, to begin to try and go through that would take quite a bit of time. So we opted for adding more to it so that it will take you more time when you do read it.
And now it's a multimedia project.
Well, what I'd like to point out about it that I find interesting as an improviser is the way your audience listened to you. Noticing that there are several people in the bar that looked kind of samey, that is like picking up on such a small detail. And by suggesting then that that means that the bar is full of doppelgangers, that is adding an incredible amount of importance to a tiny detail. And that's the magic of improv and collaboration right there.
Well, and then from that, the implication that this is why the battle was so successful for the opposing side. Like, and like you said, it all stems from one detail that they kind of look similar.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I say the most important thing that you can get from improv as a game master or as a player is make your partner look important or make your partner look good by listening to what they say and deciding how what they said to you is one of the most important things that could be said in a scene. You, first of all, make them feel really good about their idea because, like, you know, they just threw something simple out there, a bar full of same looking people, and you extrapolated to like, no, this means that the battle was a disaster because there's a big plague of doppelgangers. It just makes the small contributions that people make into big collaborations that come together, which is awesome.
I think it might even be a stretch, but I'm willing to make the leap. And that is that in a top 10 creation inspiration from the past, I think DM Mitch mentioned an idea about an entire town that was full of doppelgangers. So maybe he originally planted the seed in the Dungeon Master's mind, who commented on the forums to create the tavern full of doppelgangers. As opposed to an entire town.
We're getting as meta as possible.
We're trying.
If you actually line up the title of all the episodes, it spells out doppelganger. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that last part's not true. So I have another important question, mainly for James. I'm sorry, Phil. This one's not really for you. But here we are at the beginning of May, that's when this is airing, and I feel like we are in the midst of something amazing.
I should hope so.
Could you tell me more about that, James?
So in the time that this is being recorded, Cat Cool and I are about to launch a Kickstarter for a party game that we designed together called Noisy Person Cards. And by the time this is actually airing, that Kickstarter will be in full bloom and running and hopefully already funded, but I don't know about that yet. The Noisy Person Cards game is one that we designed to help people improve and work on their role-playing skills. If you listen to DM's Block, you know there is a lot that goes into role-playing. It is the big combined art of several different skills. What Kat and I wanted to do with our first game design projects were distill down different skills into games that you could play outside of role-playing that would help you become a better role player. And the first game, Noisy Person Cards, helps you get more comfortable with using character voices at the table. If you voice a character when you role-play, there's a much higher chance that you will get more engaged and bring out more animated conversations with the people around the table. So in order to encourage play like that, Kat and I took the very simple card matching party game dynamic found in games like Apples to Apples and Cards Against Humanity, and we applied it to voice acting. So a judge will draw a character card from a deck, and all the other players will have hands full of phrase cards. And the object of the game is to read one of your phrase cards as the character card that you are being prompted by from the judge. And whoever does the best performance wins. And the round passes around like every other party game. And the idea is that through repetition and through trying things, you will get more and more comfortable and at ease, and through competition, try a little bit harder at different character voices. So when you walk away from the table, having scored a few or many, many points, you will walk away knowing that you have a list of character voices that everybody at that table really loved and enjoyed. So it's a way to train role-playing outside of role-playing games without, you know, having to spend 4 or 5 hours on a weekend.
Awesome. I'm super excited. I've been excited since the first time you mentioned it here on the DM's Block, mm-hmm. and of course on One Shot and the associated amazing podcasts that are there.
Oh, thank you.
I have a quick question if you're up for it.
I am.
Is there more of a fantasy bent on the characters that are presented and the phrases that are then said? Or is it just very open?
So for this first set of Noisy Person Cards, we decided to focus heavily on fantasy. So you're going to be seeing a lot of cards like Talking Skeleton or Lich or Werewolf. We tried to keep everything relevant to fantasy in later sets and expansions, and actually expansions that if people fulfill certain social goals on our Kickstarter, people will be able to unlock. We expand genres a little bit. We want to do sets like sci-fi sets and Western sets and that sort of thing, but we're starting with fantasy because that's where role-playing started, isn't it? So the first set is going to be 600 cards. They are fantasy-themed. And then from then on, we will expand onwards and upwards.
That sounds amazing. And I will be fairly confident in saying that when you start breaking your shattering some of your stretch goals, I will be very excited to see what those are and what new ones you hastily make after your Kickstarter is probably more successful than you're ready for.
Well,
that's how I feel.
We tried to keep most of the unlockables out of stretch goals,
which I think is awesome.
Yeah, we wanted it to be not something that people felt they have to keep increasing their backing level if they wanted new cool stuff. All they have to do is just be louder about how much they like it. So most of our goals are social goals. And by doing things like sharing the link to the Kickstarter on Facebook or on Twitter, you'll be able to unlock those new sets. The one stretch goal that we have, actually, we were approached by one of our fans who had played the print and play edition of the game, who is an app developer, and he was like, hey, would you like to do a Noisy Person Cards app? And I'm like, well, I have no idea what that would be, and that sounds like development would be so expensive for that. No, it's a really big challenge. And he came back to us a couple weeks ago while we were planning out the Kickstarter, and he delivered a working prototype to us. So we...
That'll do.
If we hit $70,000 on our Kickstarter, we have set aside a chunk of money for him that we will pay him to develop an NPC app.
That is amazing.
You definitely have one backer on the podcast right now, which is me.
Well, thank you very much.
That's a guarantee.
He's already put the money in your PayPal account. Just go check it right now.
70,000. Make sure you count all the zeros.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
Boom.
Yeah, I don't think that was the best idea you've ever had, Phil, but I like the results.
Just a small business loan. No big deal.
Can't argue with results. Yeah, it's one of those loans that you don't have to pay back. Kickstarter's so great.
So now that the listeners have already gone to the Kickstarter and helped spread the word, because I do agree that those are way cooler stretch goals and methods than just monetarily, where else can they find you, James?
Well, if you're looking for more stuff from me, you can always head over to oneshotpodcast.com. That is the home of the One Shot Podcast Network, home of the One Shot Actual Play Podcast, where myself and several other improvisers from Chicago sit down with a new role-playing system and a new cast of players just about once every month, and we play a role-playing game. Coming out now, we're probably just coming off the heels of Tenra Bancho Zero, or we might be in the middle of it. So if that's a game that you're curious about, you can head over to oneshotpodcast.com and check that out. I'm also involved in the Campaign Podcast, which is an ongoing Star Wars Edge of the Empire campaign that is so different and removed from Star Wars at this point that I can't imagine that you will find it recognizable, but I assure you it is worth your time.
Yes.
And we also have several great interview shows like Modifier, Talking Tabletop, and Backstory. So please check those out too.
Hey, by now you might have even heard me on Talking Tabletop.
Ooh-hoo!
Hey, or not. I don't know.
Jim's release schedule is his own thing. I have no idea how he conducts it. He tells me, like, oh, I'm sitting on like 7 interviews. And I'm like, Jim, that's crazy.
Yeah. So he has my voice. And one day, if not already, you will hear it on Talking Tabletop. So now that we've done all that, I just want to implore you, the listeners, to join up on the forums and take part in these challenges, the DMnastics, and all of the other exercises, as well as the other conversations being had.
Heroes, you can head over to dungeonmastersblock.freeforums.net to try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.